Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Need a place to talk sports? You've come to the right place. CBS Sports Radio.
Live from CBS Sports Radio in New York City, in studio. How about that? Maybe we are getting back a little bit to normal. Chris Moore with you. I got another 3 hours with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Back again tomorrow night as well. So look forward to talking to you on this Memorial Day weekend. Appreciate you being here wherever you may be. We'll take your calls later in the program. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Let's talk a little football, shall we? Always nice to talk to former Tennessee Titan Denard Walker, who hosts the Believe in Titans podcast down in Tennessee. Of course, played in the Super Bowl for Tennessee. The Titans lost to the Rams that year back in 2000. Nine-year NFL veteran, played for Tennessee, Denver, Minnesota, and Oakland. And joins us now on CBS Sports Radio. Denard, Chris Moore in New York. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. We appreciate you coming on. And tell us about the Believe podcast, first off. What's that all about?
Well, I'm hosting it with Davey Hudson. He's a really great guy in Knoxville, Tennessee. And we just talk a little Titan football. And we're just talking about this upcoming year and all of the expectations that that team have for 2020. So it's very exciting. And join us on Tuesday at about 7 o'clock Eastern and 6 o'clock Central Time.
You like being a media member now, Denard?
Yeah, I'm actually enjoying it. It gives me kind of a chance to respect what you guys do for a living. And, you know, it used to be in the old days you didn't want to talk to the media. Now that you're a part of it, it's exciting, you know, to be on the opposite end. And like I said before, it gives me a chance really to respect what you guys do for a living.
Was it something you were thinking about when you played or at the end of your career, or what brought you here?
Well, you know, I've always been interested, and I love the color analyst. I like calling games.
Right.
It's something like it's a passion for mine. So I just don't think that you can be just a color analyst. I think you got to do the whole spectrum of in the media. You know, you need to know how to, you know, answer questions. You need to know how to, you know, sometimes take criticism. And so I've just enjoyed this part of the business so far, and it's been really fun for me.
I'm glad you've been enjoying it. How difficult has the virus been on you personally and on football in general, and what are your experiences thus far before we get into trying to forecast a very uncertain future? What have your experiences been like so far with the virus and where you live and how people are reacting down there?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, the thing about it, really where I can empathize with everyone, is that it's not like one person has to go through it. Everybody is affected about the COVID-19 virus. I mean, right now, I feel more for the children and the elderly because they've been really affected by it. We know that kids, you know, right now, with graduation right around the corner, you know, the way they have to do things now, and then a lot of the sports were canceled. So my heart kind of goes out to a lot of those young men and those young women that were out there training their hearts out, and then the sports had to be canceled. And now the governor of Texas just now reinstated or said that basically what he's going to do, he wants everything going again. So I was kind of excited, but yet I'm a little bit apprehensive that I don't want this to like jeopardize anybody's health. So I feel like this virus has affected every one of us. It's not just in the U.S., but it's all around, you know, in different countries, you know, and everybody has been just devastated. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, I like going to church on Sundays, but I can't, you know, I have to look at it online now. You know, it has stopped a lot of what we do on a daily basis. So to know that I'm not the only one that's in it or struggling through it, you know, that it gives you a sense of, not sense of comfort, but it's just a sense of empathy that I can relate and I can have compassion on those that are really affected by the virus. So, you know, it's just hard, but I kind of see, you know, like I said, when you hit this, especially in America, when we get hit with something, we hit back even harder. So I know that these scientists and doctors, they're going to come up with something. And I feel like at some point, you know, we're going to beat this thing.
Yeah, I think you put it well when you talked about being excited and apprehensive and everyone trying to kind of work on that slide about, you know, how excited should they be versus how apprehensive they should be, and trying to get the right balance is really where the country is right now, where the world is right now. So you're right about that. What about the, you know, certainly good to talk to a player like you who grew up in that environment, and we all, you know, have witnessed it and watched it and been a part of it. But it's such a physical world you live in when you are a football player or an athlete in general. I mean, it's not just the high fives and the, you know, it's the kidding around, it's the elevators, it's the jokes. It's a lifestyle when you travel as a team that you're going to have a lot of physical contact all the time. And then obviously on great plays, we all see that, and people, you know, celebrating great situations of pick six or whatever, and everybody piling on. It's just hard for any fan out there to think about the game without those casual and sometimes emotional physical reactions to good plays and sometimes to bad plays. When something's gone wrong and you want to go over and give a guy a hug and say it's all right. You know, it's just such a different world without that in the world of sports, which is so physical to begin with.
Yeah, you know, sports, I was talking to someone earlier about this, it kind of gives us a way out, you know, kind of gives us an escape route from our everyday lives. You know, a lot of us, we're bombarded every day with work. You know, we got our children. I have three kids. And so we go through so much on a daily basis. And I think what sports offers a lot of us, especially as a player, it allows you an outlet just to release a lot of stress. And I've always said, when you go to a sporting event, whether it's a football game, baseball game, basketball game, one of the things you see is like people, like an emotional roller coaster. You know, sometimes people are up, sometimes people are down. You know, people are cheering, people are crying. You know, we saw when LeBron left Cleveland, you know, they was burning up everything. And when Kevin Durant left Oklahoma City, the city of Oklahoma started burning everything.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what you love about it. I think there's no better representation of what this country stands for than when you look at sports in general. It represents everything we go through, the ebbs and flows of life. It represents resilience. You know that at some point you're going to get knocked down as a player. The question is, do you get up? And I've always just said that what determines a great player is not really what talent, but it's about who you are. Who you are would determine what you do. So that's what we love about sports. That's why I love sports. I've been a part of playing a game since I was about 5 years old. You know, started out playing soccer. But one thing I learned about sports is it teaches you about everyday life, that no matter how hard you train, no matter what you do sometimes, you're not always going to come out on top. That's just the way it works. But, you know, my grandmother used to always say, you know, if you give it your all, then that gives you a chance to have some kind of comfort at the end. And I knew exactly what, and it's absolutely what she said is the truth. If you know you go out there, and I know it's an old cliche, I know it's a phrase that we saw, you know, if you do your best and you have nothing to be worried about, but it really is. I mean, it gives you some sense of comfort when you know that, you know, like myself, you know, coming up short in Super Bowl 34, the question I ask myself is, did you go out there and did you play hard? Did you give it everything? Did you respect the game for what it was? And that's exactly what I did. I said, yes, I did. And then as long as you can say that, and as long as you know you did that, it gives you a sense of relief. No, I didn't win the game, but you know what? I gave it my best, and I can live with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously that part of it, you know, isn't going to go away. What about the part I asked about a little bit and we got off track a bit, but what about that physical interaction? Even the fans have it. You know, they high-five each other. They don't even know each other, and they're hugging or high-five when you get a pick six, or, you know, the game-winning field goal goes through. It's physical. I mean, it's not just the emotional part, it's physical. And now that's threatened by this virus. It's just a it's hard to imagine, you know, how people are going to react, both players and fans, if in fact the physical part of it is so, you know, everybody's wearing handcuffs.
Yeah, exactly. I love what you just said. You know, the physical part of the game, it's like right now with players all over, you know, they can't have any physical contact. Now, we know as players that the way we're going to get better, especially going through a grueling NFL season, we have to have that physical contact. We need to be banged around a little bit. We need to be slapped. We need to be punched. We need to get hit in the ribs. We need to be in a couple fights to get ready for the rigors of the game. It's the same thing as a player. You feed off the fan, the electricity that the fan gives you. You know, I tell people all the time, I have the opportunity to play at, in my mind, and I'm not being biased, but I love Louisiana State University. That's my home.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Baton Rouge is my second home. But what I loved about that stadium was the electricity that it offered. They didn't call it Death Valley for nothing. You know, people don't realize this. In 1988, that LSU was playing Auburn. They won the game at the last minute, and it was so noisy that it actually set off what they thought was like an earthquake or something similar to that.
Yeah.
That's how electric that stadium was. And when you were a player and you feed off that, it's like a certain, you got a jolt that comes through you. I can't explain it, but it's literally like somebody actually shot you with a round of electricity through your body. So sometimes when you're actually tired, you can just feel the electricity through the crowd, and then it can actually get you going again. That's how we need that. And so as a fan, I miss that because, you know, when I played at Death Valley, you know, that's what we love was our fan participation. That, you know, they would basically, if you win, they will love you. If you lost, you might get some beer cans thrown at you. You never know. You never knew what could happen. And you miss that. So the fan interaction is important because I love to see when fans are high-fiving. I love to see when fans are hugging. I love to see when two people, they don't even know each other. They're embracing each other. And that's what makes sports so exciting. And that's what we're missing right now. And man, I'm hoping that, you know, there's something, we're going to get something going pretty soon because that's what we're missing right now.
Yeah. And you can, you know, a player can't even give another player a, you know, a loving headlock, you know, like, nice job, brother. You know, and you can't even, you know, I mean, it just all has to be thought about now when it was just a natural reaction. You didn't think about hugging a guy in the end zone after he made a great play. You just did it. There wasn't anything to think about. Now, everything seems like it's going to have to be thought about. And I just wonder how everyone, especially guys that grew up in the environment from 7, 8 years old, like many professional athletes have, you know, they've been from 7 or 8 years old, they've been teammates and they've celebrated and they've commiserated and it's always been the same. And now they're 29 and they're asked to change because of this virus. I don't know how that's going to work, man. I don't.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's weird is that that's what you're taught. You know, I know when I was in high school, we had what we called a celebration rule. So one of the things my coach, he wanted to see is when a guy made a play, I want 10 other guys to run over there and to hug him,
Hit
him about the head and tell him, you know, pat him on the butt.
Right,
tell
let him know.
Job. Yeah, exactly. So you can't, you know, what's weird is that they had a soccer game. I guess when they started soccer, wherever they was playing over in Europe somewhere, the guy makes a goal. He kisses the guy. Just a natural reaction,
Right. Natural
instinct of soccer players. But they was thinking about throwing a yellow card.
Yeah.
And then the referee said he thought about it. He took the card back, and I was like, okay, that's what's going to be missing from the game. You know, what if a guy – it's just natural. If a guy scores a touchdown, you know, you want to celebrate. That's what we love about the NFL. You love when guys are doing those little antics. They're dancing, Michael Jackson, break dancing. You know, that's just the excitement of the game. So what's going to – and then just you want to see other guys participating. You don't just want to see one guy, you know, out there dancing along. You want to see the whole team. That's what makes the NFL so great is that when one guy makes a play or a big play, the team comes and celebrate. Now, everybody's got their own little – you know, dance moves now, and people tune in. That's what you want to see.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're not going to see that, that raises the question, what are we really looking at now? What are we looking for in the game now?
Yeah, and sharing success, of course, is so much fun, whether you're a fan or a player, and sometimes that sharing is physical. I mean, it just is, and it always has been, and now perhaps for a while anyway, it won't be able to be, and I just don't know how that plays out. Let's get into the Titans real quick, and then I'll let you go. What are we expecting? I mean, obviously, you know, we're hoping for football, and a lot of people want to look ahead, even though they're afraid of, you know, whether the whole thing will even happen. But overall, how's the optimism in Tennessee about the 2020 Titans?
Well, it's big right now. You know, they're returning 10 starters on offense, and right now they had a great draft class in this 2020. Christian Fulton and Ozell Wilson, Darrington Evans. They got some great young rookies that are coming in. I mean, I think this is a team that's on the cusp of doing something really great, or they at least have the chance to. My biggest question this year for this 2020 team is, are they going to take the leap past the Chiefs this year,
right,
and get past that AFC? Well, I mean, an AFC championship game and being down in Tampa this year. I think they have the talent to do it. I think everything depends on at least the quarterback play, of course. And I think if Ryan Tannehill picks up where he left off, man, this is a team in the D train. I mean, let's just be honest with you. They got the best back. Derrick Henry, I love this guy ever since he was at Alabama. I mean, if those two guys get going, this is a team that can be very scary in the AFC this year.
That Tannehill story is crazy, isn't it? I mean, he's so ordinary there, waiting in Miami, and then he comes out and has the kind of year he had. And people are wondering, is that a fluke or is it not? I mean, they can't figure it out.
You know, that's the crazy thing about the NFL is that we saw time and time again where a guy wasn't having success in one system, then he switches over to a system, and then it's like his career has been resurrected in some sort. We see that with coaches all the time, that sometimes they're in a great system, then they go try to do their own thing, and it's like they collapse. So Tannehill this past year, oh, my goodness. I mean, he played like he played at Texas A&M. He played lights out. And right now, I've always said the same thing with Marcus. You know, Marcus now is going to be in Las Vegas. The question is will he resurrect his career and then be the Marcus Mariota of old? And I think we're going to see the same thing with him down in Las Vegas.
That'll be interesting to see. Hey, good conversation, Denard. I learned a lot. I appreciate it. Thanks for giving the perspective, and hopefully we'll talk again down the road. And stay healthy, stay safe, and all the best to you.
You too. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, there you go. Former Tennessee Titan Denard Walker. He hosts the Believe in Titans podcast, and a good conversation with him, hitting, you know, basically all the subjects of the day these days, which unfortunately aren't as many as we would like.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.